Hi there, listener. Sonic Architect Adam here. Do you like bonus content? Do you like ad-free content? Do you like getting everything 24 hours earlier than everybody else? If so, join us over on patreon.com/noencore, where you'll get all episodes 24 hours early, ad-free, weekly previews, and bonus content just like this. So enjoy this preview of what's there over on patreon.com/noencore. The album we're going to be talking about today is The Colour and the Shape by Foo Fighters. It is their second offering, an album that came out in 1997, so it's nearly as old as me. But yeah, I really love this record. I think it's a particularly good one to talk about here in this forum because of the story and lore around the record itself and just the amount of, I suppose, occurrences and things that happened, life events, band events. We'll get into it. There's going to be plenty of clips for context. It's going to be great. But for now, let's do a little bit of a background on the record itself. So as I mentioned, the record came out in 1997 on the 20th of May. It was recorded between the months of November 1996 and February 1997 between Washington and Los Angeles. So it was certainly not an easy process, and we will get into all of that later on. But first of all, the accolades. This was nominated for a Grammy Award in 1998. The album has sold more than 2 million copies in the US, and it's the band's best-selling album to date still. It was remastered in 2007, and then, you know, there are plenty of represses done on vinyl and stuff like that. The vinyl I have is a repress. I should only be so lucky to have gotten an original copy. But I do, however, on that note, I do have an original copy of the Foo Fighters' first album, self-titled. This is relevant because this record, The Colour and the Shape, is the first Foo Fighters record where it is the Foo Fighters band who are writing and recording the record. The first record, the self-titled record, was a collection of songs that Dave Grohl had written while he was in Nirvana. And after some time after Nirvana had disbanded post the death of Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl wanted to go and record these, and, you know, he put it out and it just became this thing. And on the back of that, then he, you know, got a band together and they toured with Mike Watt and Minutemen and one of Eddie Vedder's side project outside of Pearl Jam were on the same tour. Venues kept getting bigger. And it feels like it's kind of the first Foo Fighters record to me. And certainly you can see the lasting impact that a lot of the sounds on this record have. But again, we're going to get further into that. So for those of you who don't know, Foo Fighters is a band fronted by Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl, formerly the drummer of Nirvana and Scream, a punk band from Seattle from back in the day. They kind of had a bit of a cult following, and, you know, on the back of that, he joined Nirvana. We're all familiar with the story of Kurt Cobain, the really, really tragic, the tragic death of Kurt Cobain by suicide. After that, then, Dave Grohl goes on to record these demos, like I say, and he puts a bit of a band together. So the band, in its early stages, is made up of Nate Mendel, bassist, and William Goldsmith, drummer, both formerly of Sunny Day Real Estate, who broke up in the kind of mid-90s there. They were one of the first kind of emo bands. We actually spoke about them on Top 5 Midwest Emo, I believe, with Hugh Carr. A great band, love them very much. They have a great album, 1994 album called Diary. It's got In Circles, probably their most memorable and most kind of iconic song, I would think. So the demise of that band led to the formation of the band proper of Foo Fighters. And Dave Grohl then was the front man of that band. He swapped from drums to guitar and, you know, kind of running the show. But it was always meant to be a four-piece. There was always meant to be two guitars, according to Dave. So he went about recruiting Pat Smear, formerly of The Germs and the later Nirvana outfit, to join the band. And he did. And that was the lineup for this record's recording. So they all join on the first tour. Everything's going very well. It seems to gel. It seems to work. Like I say, the venues are getting bigger. The popularity is rising. And they start writing songs. And the decision is made to go into the studio with producer Gil Norton. Now, who's Gil Norton, you might ask? Well, Gil Norton is famous for doing 3 out of 4 of the Pixies records at the time. And he's a producer from the UK, and he has a bit of a reputation for being a hard taskmaster, I believe was the quote that Dave Grohl said in an interview back then. But I'm going to let the band do the talking on that one just for a minute.
The second album that we made, Color and Shape, we decided to work with this producer named Gil Norton. And Gil, at the time, was famous for making the Pixies records.
This is my first real recording process. Now there's a producer, like someone who's not just pressing play, but actually is saying, like, I think that should be a C, and you should also play it in time.
We went into the studio with Gil, and he worked us hard, real hard.
I was fucking terrible, and William was having his own challenges.
Gil called Nate and I the rhythmless section, so that was encouraging.
I could tell when, you know, I had to do something a million fucking times that it was taking longer than I wanted to, and it was this sort of my first realization, like, oh, I'm not a fully formed musician. Like, I've got to keep getting better.